So I read one scholar who claims that Paul speaks with a thick accent here in this letter to the church in Ephesus. I found that interesting, particularly in light of the fact that this is the Sunday when we acknowledge and celebrate our Scottish heritage, a heritage filled with its own thick accent. Scottish brogue is about accent, pace, and word choice, and any one of those could trip up American ears. But all of them together, that's something else. But that's not quite the kind of accent that the scholar was talking about with Paul. It's more about the word choice. Paul uses a particular and distinct vocabulary for this fairly thick letter. He uses phrases like blessed us in Christ, chose us in Christ, and destined us for adoption as his children. He piles on all the superlatives, blessing upon blessing, as if the church in Ephesus does not believe him. That may very well have been the case for them, and it could be for us too. We may not be able to hear his words blessed, chosen, adopted, and grace because we so often hear everywhere else fated, rejected, failure, shameful, and guilty. So Paul gives voice to this silent, unspoken truth for the Ephesians and for us. And this is surprising and good news for those who hear it. Paul knows the congregation struggles to believe that it is beloved by God. So he uses words that flow in excess, words that lift them and us to the very height of God's presence. His intent is to strengthen the church to be faithful in service. His intent is to remind those who listen of who we are and whose we are, thus leading us back to the joy of living as God's people. He tells them God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. God chooses us. God adopts us. And that has been a part of God's plan since before the foundation of the world. This is God's action, not ours. And for us, it is pure gift. But sometimes it's really hard to believe that we are adopted, claimed, and beloved. Sometimes it's even harder to believe and trust the part that comes next in his letter, that all things will be gathered up in Christ. It is far easier to believe that the earth is going to hell in a handbasket than to believe in God's plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. But if we take this letter to heart, then we cannot give up hope in anyone or any neighborhood, or any nation. If we take Paul's words about the world to heart, then all the people and situations we have labeled as hopeless are actually part of God's plan revealed in Christ for all things. And what things have we labeled as hopeless? Our current political climate and the desire for respect, civility, and integrity. The state of our natural environment with climate change threatening us. Gun violence. What about the people we know, the friend struggling with addiction, the family member with mental illness, or something, a longing or a loss perhaps in your own life that you can't bear to speak? We have labeled these people and situations as hopeless. The good news of adoption and grace that Paul writes about seem impossible, but they are true. The resolution may not be what we have in mind, but none of these things is beyond the love and grace and redemption and hope of Jesus Christ. We've seen over the past 5 weeks how Fred Rogers created a neighborhood in which no one was beyond hope. He built a neighborhood where everyone knew that they were loved. He showed that with Officer Clemens and in so many other ways. On his television program and in his life, Mr. Rogers treated everyone as a beloved child of God, chosen and claimed and worthy of respect. In the clip we watched from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, we saw a video of all sorts of different neighbors. He shows diversity. These are families of different racial ethnic backgrounds. There are multi-generational families. There are single person families and even one with lots of cats. Rogers reflects after watching the film in high speed that it helps to have people that love you no matter what. In funny times, in sad times, in any kind of time, it helps that you to know that you are loved no matter what. And we stop the episode before the trolley visits the neighborhood of make-believe. When it does visit, there the puppets and people have an interesting conversation about adoption and about what makes a family a family. When the trolley returns to his home, Mr. Rogers talks about his sister Elaine's adoption. He says that Elaine is the one who made him a brother, even though he doesn't look like his sister. And you don't have to be exactly like someone to love them. At the end of the episode, he gets a delivery, a speedy delivery from Mr. McFeely, which, side note, McFeely is Mr. Rogers' middle name. It was his mother's maiden name. I did a little research into the McFeely clan from Scotland, but didn't get very far. But I tried, thought it would be helpful on this Sunday. Oh well. But the book that Mr. McFeely delivers is called Exactly As I Am. And the book begins with a little boy's family, and then the boy moves through the neighborhood, encountering different neighbors along the way. And he says, I'm not exactly like my neighbor, but I love him. On this Sunday, when our sanctuary is filled with tartans and the sights and sounds of Scotland, we do celebrate the part of our Presbyterian heritage that comes from Scotland. But not all of us can or want to claim any Scottish heritage. We've got tartan banners representing different Scottish families. We've got our St. Andrew's banner, which reminds us of Jesus' disciple Andrew, for whom this congregation is named. And we've got our banner over here with all the different flags from around the world. Each of those countries is full of all sorts of different kinds of families, too. I'm grateful that we have so many people here today who represent different kinds of families of origin, and also friends and neighbors from different church families. It's great that we are all part of God's big, beloved family. I wonder, if we were to do a kirking of the families, or something like that, what sign or symbol would you choose to represent your family? Perhaps a tartan would be your choice, or maybe a lamba from Madagascar, or kente cloth, or something bright and floral and tropical. Think about your family. And I encourage you to think about family in the broadest sense, perhaps your biological family, perhaps your chosen family, or your church family. If you were going to design a banner or crest with a motto surrounding it, what would that look like? When my parents retired, they designed a special fireplace in their new home, and my dad carved symbols into five large flat stones representing the five places they had lived together. A sun for California, an ear of corn for Nebraska, a beer stein for Germany, a star for Texas, and a cotton bowl for Alabama. So if they were going to design a crest, it might incorporate those images. Each of these clans represented by tartans has a motto. My Carmichael clan motto is toujours prêt, which means always ready. Maybe there's a motto that you or your friends in your chosen family have claimed for yourselves. So we're going to take a little bit of time to think about that. There is a mostly blank page in your bulletin today that you can use to sketch or make notes on about this. So think about the people that love you no matter what. How would you represent them? How would you represent that family? So I invite you to take a moment to write or draw or design the crest or motto or banner that you might process in with and post up front if we were to do a kirking of the families to represent whatever family it is that you know loves you no matter what. So let's do that now. All right, I haven't given you much time, but we've got more worship ahead of us. So I do hope that you will share your creation with your friends and family and neighbors. Keep working on it and talk about what it means to you. And if you would like to display your creation, you can give yours to me and I'll gather them up to share. But we do this because while it's great fun to celebrate our Scottish heritage, that is not the most important part of who we are as individuals, as members of a clan, or as a community of faith. The most important part of our identity is that we are claimed, chosen, and adopted by God. We are called beloved children of God, and that is what is important no matter what. Paul gives his readers a hint of what it looks like to live like they know they are beloved. What does that look like here? Imagine the shape of a community of faith that lives into the double command to love God and love neighbor. The shape of a community of faith that is marked by its consistent focus on what God is doing in its midst and in the midst of a troubled earth. Paul writes of what it looks like when people live like they know they are beloved. And what does that life look like now? Sometimes it feels like a no-brainer or like I'm a broken record up here. Why even bother saying it again? Because everybody knows it already. But apparently not. Right now, it is really easy to recognize the troubled earth part of that and maybe a little harder to see what God is doing. This week, we were once again confronted with heartbreaking news. News of people murdered at a Kroger in Kentucky after the gunman's failed attack on a nearby African-American church. News of bombs sent in the mail to political opponents. And yesterday, news of 11 killed and more injured while gathering for worship and celebration of new life at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, just blocks from the home of our beloved neighbor, Mr. Rogers. Clearly, we've still got some work to do on living like we know we and our neighbors are beloved by God. So maybe it's not a no-brainer, and clearly it can't be said too often. If hate-filled and violent speech can move fearful people to hate-filled and violent action, then maybe we can speak grace-filled and loving speech, and it can move hopeful people to grace-filled and loving action. And let me just say for the record on this Sunday when we celebrate our common Reformed heritage, part of what we believe as Reformed Christians is that the sovereign God we worship keeps the promises that God has made. We are covenant people, people of the new covenant made in Christ, and we also believe that God keeps the promises made to, the covenant made with, the people of Israel. And that means that our Jewish brothers and sisters are covenant people too. They are chosen and beloved by God too, part of our larger family of faith. Paul's letter shares the surprising good news that we are claimed and called beloved. We are blessed. And now we need to get busy living like we believe that is true. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are beloved and we are made to love. No matter what clan, birthplace, skin color, or neighborhood, we are claimed and chosen as God's own, adopted as part of God's family, beloved and made to love. And that is what makes us a family of faith and gives us reason to celebrate. So thanks be to God. Amen.